39. The mask hung around Zero's neck. A dozen nicks and punctures covered the smooth flesh of his face, each one trailing blood. A red gash stretched across the space where his left eye should have been. He took a step toward them. His trip over the steering wheel had broken his arm in at least two places, possibly a few ribs too, the way his chest sagged on one side.
"You've been laughing at me my whole life," muttered Zero, taking another step. "Making my life hell. Not anymore."
"Zeke," said Eli, "we need to get you to a doctor. You've been—"
"Not anymore," roared Zero.
The skin around his jaw stretched tight and shook like a drum. His working arm swung up to grab at Eli. Eli smacked the arm away but numbed his hand in the process. It felt like stopping the casual swing of a baseball bat. Yet another sensation he knew, thanks to Zeke. He took a few steps back. Zero limped after him. With his swinging, twisted arm, it gave him the gait of a B-movie zombie.
"Turned everyone against me in school," snarled the faceless man. "Then, in the whole town. This is all your fault. They turned me into this because of you. To help them find you."
His fingers stretched out, flexed, and Eli had no doubt they could crush bone. He ducked and slammed into Zero. He drove his shoulder into the faceless man's gut and kicked at the ground. Zero slid back and crashed against the Hornet's wide fenders. The faceless man brought his arm down hard. Eli's back shuddered and the muscles on one side spasmed. The impact shook his spine and forced his eyes so wide they watered. He tried to keep Zero pinned against the car, but the pain crumpled his body, and he slid to his knees. Zero's head twitched just a moment before a rock hit him in the side of his jaw. He growled, more annoyed than hurt. Harry bent down, grabbed another egg-sized stone, and flung it. Zero reached out and caught it. His head never moved. He flicked the rock back at her, and it struck just under her chin. Harry dropped, wheezing, to her knees and grabbed at her throat. Eli gritted his teeth and straightened his back so he could stare at Zero's blank face. Blood soaked the sleeve of the faceless man's broken arm from biceps to wrist and dripped from his fingertips. Across one cheek, a purple bruise worked its way up from beneath the skin.
"No more," Zero whispered to Eli. "My whole life's messed up because of you."
Eli's hands dropped and his knuckles scraped something hard. His fingers explored and found its shape, Harry's first stone. Eli wrapped his fingers around it. Zero grabbed the front of Eli's shirt and dragged him to his feet. The motion took next to no effort, as if he were hefting a gym bag. The forest whirled and Eli slammed against the car. The Hornet's front end wrenched his back and set off another spasm. His hands flailed and he almost dropped the stone. His fingers pulled it close to his palm and tightened his grip.
"I'm the hero now," said Zero. "I'm going to take care of you and then your damned searcher girlfriend. And then—"
Harry's pistol came whipping into Eli's line of sight. Zero grabbed for it, but Eli's shirt held his fingers. The fabric tore, half a second too late, and the steel barrel caught the faceless man in the side of the head. Certainty let him dodge the pain, but not the actual attack.
"Fucking bitch!" he roared.
He shook the scraps of cotton twill from his hand and reached for Harry. Eli brought the rock up, ignoring the pain in his back as he twisted around. The stone smashed into Zero's temple, right across from where Harry's pistol had struck. Right where a walnut-sized chunk of gravel had hit Eli almost 16 years ago. He felt bone shift under the blow. Zero made a muffled, bubbling sound deep in his throat. His hand came back around, fingers wide, but the movement threw him off balance. He teetered for a moment. Harry pistol whipped him again, cracking it across his temple. Zero made another gargling noise. His knees folded, and he collapsed to the ground, stretching out like a line between them. He twitched two more times and grew still. Eli glanced at her.
"Is he dead?"
"Maybe,"
She coughed twice, rubbed her throat, and watched the body.
He's not breathing.
Do they normally breathe?
I don't think so. No.
Eli bent his knees as slow as he could, but when he dropped, it still jarred his back. He fell to all fours and took a moment. Three deep breaths helped him calm the pain. Harry crouched next to him.
Are you okay?
I think so, he said. In the long run. Nothing a long hot bath and a dozen aspirin won't fix. Or a bottle of whiskey.
If we make it out of this, I'll see what I can arrange.
How about you?
She coughed again. It had a raspy edge.
I've been better, she said, but I'll be fine.
He reached out a cautious hand and pressed the fingers against Zero's neck. It took three tries to find a pulse.
Still alive.
His pulse seems good, I guess. Steady, at least.
I can take care of that, said Harry.
The pistol spun in her hand. The grip came to rest against her palm and her fingers settled on the trigger.
Whoa, we can't kill him.
Why not?
He's a victim. They did this to him.
He replayed Zero's rant in his head.
They did this to him because of me.
Eli,
she said.
I think it's wonderful that you care so much about your childhood bully, but he's one of them now. He's a faceless man, and that means he's the enemy.
So we kill him and then what?
He waved his arm across the field to where the Model A sat.
Do we have time to fix Eleanor's tire?
Doubtful, since we left the toolbox back with little you.
Damn it,
he muttered.
That's right.
She looked at the Hornet.
Do you think we can get it free of the trees?
Eli frowned.
I don't think it's moving any sooner than Eleanor.
We'll have to steal a car.
He looked around.
I'm not sure there are any cars here.
Yet. A low growl rose up in the distance.
Excellent timing, Mr. Teague,
she sighed. She looked down at Zero, shook her head, and holstered the pistol.
Okay, he said. We can't get away through history. We can't get away on foot. Can we hide?
She shook her head.
Certainty. They'd know where we were as soon as they got close. No hiding, no disguising. We just can't be near.
Yeah?
She stared over at the Founder's house, just visible through the thin trees.
We're near them,
she said.
We're sometime around 1900, right under their noses.
What?
She rolled Zero over and reached into his coat. Eli watched her frisk the faceless man.
You looking for his pistol?
No,
she said, moving on to another pocket. She pulled out a notepad, tossed it aside, continued her search.
New plan. We're not going to look for the dream.
Harry held up her prize, Zero's badge.
We're going to go in there,
she said.
Right now, and we're going to steal it.